Be it Eight Bells, Hardspun, Jostle, Poverty Grace, or the great champion Songbird, owner Rick Porter keeps cranking out terrific racehorses. How does he do it? And how is he faring in his battle with cancer? Porter is our guest on this week's Thoroughbred Daily News podcast, and we'll be asking those questions after a message from our sponsor, TaylorMade.
For over 40 years, buyers, sellers, and breeders alike have turned to TaylorMade for custom fit solutions. From boarding to breeding to both public and private sales, our dedicated team stands ready to serve you. With expert advice from the Taylor brothers and their experienced team of account managers, you can count on TaylorMade to provide the personalized service you deserve and expect. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com and discover what the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing can do for you.
The red and white colors of Fox Hill Farms have become synonymous with excellence in thoroughbred racing over the last many years. He's had a Horse of the Year in Poverty Grace and currently campaigns one of the top fillies of all time in Songbird. This is Bill Finley and Fox Hill Farms. Rick Porter is this week's guest on the Thoroughbred Daily News podcast. Welcome, Rick. And Rick, first of all, just within the last few days, Songbird arrived back at the Jerry Hollendorfer barn. How's she doing? What kind of reports are you getting on her?
Well, I got a call this morning from Jerry. And, you know, he was going to try to put a really solid foundation in her this time. Not that she hasn't had one before, but he wanted to go really slow because she had been off, you know, a little longer than last year. And he called me. He says, "I just can't keep this horse to a jog. You know, she just isn't going to do it any longer." I said, "Well, Jerry, you're going to have to figure this out." And so he's figuring it out, but she's ready to do a lot more.
Okay. Well, that's good news. And probably you haven't figured it out, but I will ask you, what kind of schedule have you mapped out? And is there a first start that you guys have penciled in yet for her?
Well, until I decided to give her an extra month off, we were going to try. There was a race in at Santa Anita. I forget the name of it, but it was a Grade Two, I think. And then the next race we had penciled in was the Apple Blossom at Oak Lawn. So I think right now, if all goes well and she comes back like she normally does, we'll be ready for the Apple Blossom.
Well, certainly a great race, and I'm sure Oak Lawn will love to have her. And Rick, we've been asking you this question going on 3 years now, and but we got to keep asking it. The idea of running against males, you had so much success with Poverty Grace doing it, and is this year, 2017, perhaps the time that we finally do see her take on the boys?
I think if she shows what she did against three-year-olds last year, I would give it a try. I just have to find a spot where Arrogant isn't, because I don't think we're ready to take him on. He looks too tough for us right now.
Well, he's
but you never know what's going to happen. I'd love to take on the boys if she's doing great and looks like she can compete with them.
Well, I'm sure you could find some non-Arrogate starts out there for her against males. We'll stay tuned on that. And Rick, one thing that people have mentioned over the years, and I think they're wrong about this because I've talked to you about this before, is that people speculated that one of the reasons you were reluctant to run her in the Triple Crown Series last year was because of Eight Bells, who, of course, was the filly you ran in the Derby and broke down and had to be euthanized afterwards. But I don't believe that to be the case. Did that ever enter into your mind so far as how you and Jerry Hollendorfer handled Songbird through her three-year-old career?
You know, it's entered my mind in the past, but, you know, I still feel that I did the right thing in running her in the race, and it was just a fluke that she took a bad step. But that really didn't come into play at all. Jerry and I never discussed it. It had nothing to do with my decision. I just thought that it would be better to do it at a later date. And, you know, she was a late foal. She was an April 30th foal, so all those things, I just wanted to play her a little bit more conservatively.
And Rick, I know that, and you've told me this, that you got a big push from the Gulfstream team, that they were very much hoping that you would have taken part in the Pegasus World Cup. And I know with her, she was literally not even in training when the race was run, so that would have been impossible. But if when they approached you earlier in the year, perhaps late in 2016, was that anything you gave any consideration to?
Not really, because of the timing. I think January 28th, horses should be off myself. At least that's what I do with my good horses. I need to give them off from, in the event they're in the Breeders' Cup, and if they're a really good horse, they probably would be in the Breeders' Cup, till give them 60 to 90 days off, especially if they've had a hard season and back and forth, coast to coast, and she needed a break, and running her in there was just looking for trouble.
It didn't turn out the way Rick Porter had hoped it would, but nonetheless, the 2016 Breeders' Cup Distaff is considered one of the greatest races ever run. Listen in.
Come toward the top of the stretch. I'm a Cheddarbox trying to cling to them. Stellar Wind's got work to do. Songbird and Beholder, and they're into the stretch. And here we go. Songbird, set down. Beholder is alongside. Forever Unbridled is 2.5 lengths behind them. Furlong to run. Songbird, Beholder, they are nose to nose. This race living up to its expected power as they come to the wire. Their noses apart. Beholder! I think she got her head down on the wire. Songbird, Duggan, Gamely all the way. The two of them right together. And then came Forever Unbridled. The final time was 1 minute 49.20 seconds. I believe Beholder did it.
Well, Beholder did that. And Rick, is it hard for you to listen to that? Or are you still so proud of her running so well against a fellow champion that maybe that isn't a bad memory? I don't know.
Now, I've watched it a lot of times. I watched it a few days ago. It's just an amazing race to watch. And, when I was there, I actually thought we had won. Not that you could really tell from, I don't know how the announcer called it, but he called it right. But, it was just a matter of which one was going to have the head extended, which stride they were on. And, It's not hard for me, to hear, because as you say, I'm very proud of her. She ran a huge race first time against older fillies, and she beat a really, really good horse.
But Rick, nonetheless, there's something so special about a horse being undefeated, and virtually all of them in history eventually do lose. American Pharoah lost, of course, and all the great ones do. But with the aspect of her being undefeated, did that sting a little bit that you no longer have that mantle on her? I mean, we still know she's a great horse, but she can no longer be a great undefeated horse. Did that matter to you?
Yeah, that did matter, and that did sting a little. Especially afterwards when I started thinking about it, if we had just been lucky, we would have been undefeated, and what a great thing to take into next year as an older filly. It would have just, always had a little special something to it to keep saying she's undefeated. But we'll have to take all but a nose or half a nose, something.
Well, still great, just not undefeated. But anyways, there's a lot more to come on this week's Thoroughbred Daily News podcast with Rick Porter. But first, this message from our sponsor, TaylorMade.
Attention sellers, now's the time to start preparing for the upcoming yearling sales, and putting your yearlings on the path to success begins right now. As the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing, the expert team at TaylorMade knows what it takes to succeed at public auction. So if you're ready to get top dollar for your yearlings in 2017, visit TaylorMadeFarm.com and discover what we can do for you.
Rick, it's no secret, and you haven't tried to hide the fact that you, all during the Songbird campaign of last year, your personal life was racked with an illness. And just basically, can you bring us up to speed on what is going on and what is your health situation right now?
Well, I just went up to see a Dr. Abramson who only deals in lymphoma, and he was at Mass General. We went up to, with my kids and my wife to see him last Tuesday, and he's got some new things he wants to try. And before I'm eligible for a clinical trial that's doing very well, but they're full both in Seattle, where they're doing it, and in Boston at Mass General where they're doing it. But he said that I qualified and he put me on the list, which is what we were hoping for. So probably in 3 months or 4 months. And in the meantime, he has some other treatments that he wants to try that are in pill form. So, you know, he gave me some encouragement that, you know, we had some things to try. I just haven't been successful with chemotherapy.
Well, we're glad that there is some good news to report out of the visit to Mass General. And there are things that are beyond our understanding when it comes to illnesses, why people thrive and sometimes don't thrive. And I imagine that watching Songbird run had to be the greatest medicine you could ever have had. And is there some truth to that? I mean, is she something that not only gave you thrills, but, you know, helped keep you healthy, both mentally and physically?
Well, I don't know about physically, but she certainly was a big help when, you know, coming up to the races and watching the races. And I went up to see the coaching club at Saratoga. I couldn't get up for the Alabama, and I went to the race at Philadelphia, and I went to the Breeders' Cup. So, you know, all those mean a lot. They don't mean as much as the most important thing, and that's your family. But, you know, with the encouragement of my family and having them close by all the time, she was terrific to cheer me up when she was getting ready to run and when she was training well, and Jerry'd give me a good call. So she definitely, you know, got my mind off it for a while.
And Rick, you love this game as much as anybody that I've ever come across, and you're such a fan and you're so enthusiastic about it. And you mentioned missing the Alabama, and I know you were in the hospital at the time. How hard was that to not be at her race and to have to watch it on TV or on a computer or something like that?
Well, I did get to watch it on TV, but there's nothing like walking down to that winner's circle and bringing the horse in. If you know, being there is just, you know, it just makes it so much more special. But at least I got to see it, and at least she won easily. And that helped. That was better than not being able to see it at all. But I would have, and I was certainly planning on being there, but I just had a reaction to some chemo, and I just couldn't go.
Rick, I apologize if this is an insensitive question, but I do want to ask this. Has your health situation affected any of your racing decisions? For instance, are you more eager than ever to win the Kentucky Derby? You recently got involved, had a horse break its maiden that was very impressive. We'll talk about that. Might you keep Songbird in training longer than maybe you normally would have if you weren't ill? I'm sure those are things that people have to keep in mind. Are you running your stable any differently because you are fighting this battle off the track as well?
Well, this will probably answer it. I own 15 2-year-olds. So we've been out during all this illness buying horses. So, you know, I'm planning, you know, on being there. So I want to have the horses to do it. As far as Songbird goes, and you can remember with Haverty Grace, you know, I started her as a 5-year-old. I would have run her until she couldn't compete. at the grade one level, and I would do the same with Songbird. I think Wayne Hughes has the right idea. I mean, he ran Beholder. What's the difference if you can, the whole part of it, you know, obviously you have to look out for it financially, but the biggest thing for me is the fun of running in the top races, and I would keep her in training as long as she can compete.
Well,
I think Wayne retired her a year too early, but I'm sure glad he did.
Right, sure. Make your life easier this year. Knock on wood, if she stays healthy in the top level, she's only four, could we see, you know, will we even see her run as a seven-year-old or something like that? I mean, are you going to stick to that?
If she can compete as a, you know, in grade one racing and do well, I don't mean win half the races, mm-hmm. but, you know, really compete at the top level, not necessarily be undefeated, but, you know, win a good percentage mm-hmm. of the races. I'd run her until she couldn't win anymore in grade ones on a regular basis.
That's a terrific attitude, and I wish more owners looked at it the way you do. Rick, you're from Delaware. You've a car dealer down in that area, and for the longest time, you were an East Coast-based guy. You used several different trainers around this area. Larry Jones, you had a lot of success with him. So, you know, this expansion out west and the association with Jerry Hollendorfer, obviously very successful. You got a great trainer and a great horse. But how did that come to be? How did you and Hollendorfer get together?
Well, I thought that that racing out in California, you could stay in one place the whole year. I knew it was going to be difficult to get to as many races as I'd like to get to. But I just thought I needed to make a change, both because I wanted to try a couple of the trainers out there. Dick Mandela has some horses, and he's getting some two-year-olds. And I just thought it was a smart move to go out to California. And as it turned out, it's been very good for us. Of course, Songbird probably, you know, would have been good no matter whether Larry had gotten her on the East Coast or Jerry did. But, you know, the weather's better out there. There are a lot of pluses. I mean, there's a lot more, you know, it's easier to get the races to go. You know, the allowance races usually go, and they've got a good stakes program. Purses aren't big enough, but they got a good stakes program. And I just thought I'd give it a try, and I'm very happy with it. You know, we're sending a good group of horses, about half of them out west again, you know, and when these two-year-olds are ready to go to the trainers.
Well, it certainly has worked out well. Well, there's a lot more to the Fox Hill Farm roster than just Songbird. And after this message from TaylorMade, we'll look at some of the other Porter horses sure to make noise on the racetrack this year.
TaylorMade, the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing, is your number one source offering the full spectrum of bloodstock services. With over four decades of experience and the industry's top resources, TaylorMade has the power to help you achieve your loftiest goals. Last year, horses consigned by TaylorMade sold for nearly double the general market average. So if you're looking to get the most for your yearlings, make 2017 the year you give TaylorMade a try. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com and discover what we can do for you.
Rick Porter has only been in the game a relatively short time, since 1994, yet has won numerous graded stakes races, has had a Horse of the Year, has won Eclipse Awards. And Rick, over the years that I've known you and written about you, I've asked you this question before, and sometimes it's kind of hard to pin down, but, you know, your success goes beyond just luck. You know, you do spend your money, you do put up your money to get good horses at the sales, etc., but your success is off the charts. What are you doing right? What have you figured out about this game that you've been able to come up with the Songbirds and Havre de Grasses and Hardspuns over the years?
Well, number one, I think it's I tried to copy as much as possible my ideas from my other business, automobile dealerships. And, you know, it's pretty simple probably in any business, even though racing's a sport, but part of it's a business. And I try to, you know, treat the part of it that can be business like business. And the biggest thing in any business is surrounding yourself with the right people. It took me a little while to get started. As you say, I went started in 94, and, you know, it's been 15 years or so now, and I've, you know, Tom McGreevy, I don't think anybody can do a better job of picking out horses than Tom has done over the years working for, you know, working with me. And Victoria Keith has been a huge help. You know, she can do a little bit of everything. And they're really my only two employees other than the trainers, who really aren't employees, but, you know, you've got to have the right trainer too. And the other thing is trying to, after Tom makes his short list, you know, we go around and study the short list. We normally take a few off after we talk about them. Now that I've gotten, you know, I've been doing it longer. And then the pedigree part is my responsibility, and the pricing is my responsibility. And I think one of the biggest things that's helped as far as pricing and buying the quantity of horses we do is, you know, it almost turns out, and it's really not planned that way or, you know, checked on as we go along or monitored, we end up with somewhere between 250 and 300 is the average price of a horse. And, you know, we might spend $600 or $700 for one, but then we buy one for 80 or $120 or, you know, some in that price range that, you know, Tom just really loves, and they're deeper in the book. And a lot of them have turned out. Jostle was $85,000, I think. Round Pond, who won the Breeders' Cup and the Acorn and some other big races, she was under $100. So it's not a, you know, I see people go out and spend all this money per horse, and it seems like they don't work out. And I think you've got to buy more horses at a more reasonable price. Because with my budget, which is pretty much the same every year, I can't get enough horses by, you know, spending huge amounts per horse.
Well, you're certainly doing something right. And Rick, the other question is, you didn't really enter the sport until you were in your early or mid-50s. And, you know, why at that time did you decide to get into racing, and why did you wait so long?
Well, a couple reasons. One, I went to Delaware Park as a kid all the time. My parents went, and they'd take me down there. There was a place that you could sit out by the paddock under an umbrella, and we'd go down there and have lunch. And I started betting $2 show bets. And anyway, I just loved it. But then I got out of the Army, and I went to work for my father, and I just didn't have time. And then I started buying numerous dealerships in the Philadelphia area in South Jersey, and I didn't have time. But I had a fellow working for me, and he said, you know what, why don't you, you know, buy a couple horses, you love it. And finally I met John Service, and I felt good about him, and we bought a couple claiming horses from his brother-in-law Eddie Pleasa, and that's how it all started. And it just started getting a little deeper as we went along. But and I wasn't very lucky for a while, because I didn't, you know, we really didn't have the right people. And then McGreevy came along. I had a chance to hire him, and he's picked out the majority of these horses.
Top of the stretch, Battle of Midway, shading Bronze Age, and Espinosa guides Palmer's way to the outside. Spots Battle of Midway, two lengths coming to the eighth pole. It's Battle of Midway, the leader. Now Palmer's way's inclined to drift in a little bit. He's a touch erratic, and it's Battle of Midway going on with the job stylishly beneath Drayden Van Dyke to win on debut for Jerry Hollendorfer. Battle of Midway by three lengths to Palmer's way. Improvement to come from him.
That was the Rick Porter, Jerry Hollendorfer team winning a maiden race January 21st at Santa Anita with Battle of Midway. And Rick, granted, it was just a maiden race, but it was very impressive. This is a three-year-old who can absolutely run, no doubt about it. Your thoughts on this horse, your plans on this horse?
Well, we were very, there was a whole group of us standing outside. It was the night of the Eclipse Awards, and so we were standing out on the balcony and all watched it, and everybody obviously was very impressed with him. He went 109 flat, and he galloped out forever, and you know, he got some good numbers. He got an 88 buyer, he got a good Ragusan, he got a good Thoroughgraph, and you know, he looks the part. He'll go all day. And we're going to bring him back fairly quickly. Jerry found a stake that's on February the 12th. Like, I haven't gotten up to speed on all these stakes out at Santa Anita, but I forget the name, but it's February 12th. And it's 7 furlongs.
I believe it's the San Vicente, right?
Yeah, it is the San Vicente.
Now, Rick, there's a history of these horses that start off so late, that whole thing. No horse that has not run as a two-year-old has won the Kentucky Derby going back a zillion years since Apollo. And, you know, Jerry Hollendorfer is proven to be a pretty conservative trainer. Are you guys thinking Kentucky Derby, or is that just too much to ask of this horse?
I've thought about it. We haven't talked about it, but I think if we were to do well in this stake, we've got to think about it. You know, we just have to see how he runs this next time, mm-hmm. and then take him two turns, and there is enough time to get him ready for the race. We have to get some points, but if he's good enough to run in the Derby, I think we could get him ready for the Derby if he's that kind of horse.
Okay, well, we'll certainly
I'd love to run in the Derby if I thought we could be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
I've run second twice, so I would like to win it.
Well, I was wondering about that because, you know, not many people would have kept Songbird out of the Kentucky Derby last year. There was the whole thing where the Nyquist, most people thought Songbird was a better horse than Nyquist. And, you know, you've gone into so many times to explain why you didn't do it. But, again, many people would have done it. So I was wondering, can I read into that, you know, well, you'd like to win the Kentucky Derby. It's not something that's keeping you awake at night.
No, that's true. You know, my goal is to win Horse of the Year again. But sure, I'd love to win the Kentucky Derby. I'd like to win the Jockey Gold Cup. I'd like to win the Breeders' Cup Classic. There are a lot of races I'd like to win, but just having a good horse and moving along and winning grade ones, you know, that's enough to keep me very satisfied. But, you know, anybody in horse racing wouldn't say they'd like to win the Kentucky Derby is not telling the truth, but it's not like something I'm fixated on.
Deep in the final furlong, and it's Jenda's Agenda. She's pulled clear here. It's Jenda's Agenda. Onto a decisive first up win. Jenda's Agenda. She runs out impressively.
Well, we talk Kentucky Derby. Let's talk Kentucky Oaks. That was January.
How'd you get in on this one?
Rick, I do my homework, my friend. I do my homework. So the horse wins January 7th at the fairgrounds in the ninth race. owned by your old pal Larry Jones, and you bought into this filly after the race. And, you know, she was an impressive winner. Again, a long way to go, just winning a maiden race. But what'd you see in her, and what made you want to get involved on the Genda's Agenda team?
Well, I loved the way she ran. Larry would not let me buy in half a horse if he didn't really love it, because he had plenty of people to sell the horse to. But, you know, I watched the race several times. I got her numbers. They're excellent. And I like her breeding, particularly the female side. Larry bred that horse. And I just thought it was a good shot, a good chance to take. And unfortunately, the race we wanted to get her in to stay on target was a race they wrote that she qualified for, and the race entered yesterday. The race didn't go, so we got to try to find some place to run her fairly soon. If we're going to get her on target, if she's good enough, to get her on target for the Oaks is always something, we're thinking about, but we got to get a race in her here.
Sure, sure. And Rick, Larry Jones is one of the real good guys in horse racing. He's a gregarious, outgoing, charismatic guy, and you've had a lot of success with him together. But this is a new thing to be in partnership with him, where it's not really boss-client anymore. You're equal. He's part owner. But I imagine it must be a lot of fun to own a horse with Larry.
It is. To have Larry train for it. If you can't get in a good mood being around Larry, there's something wrong. Because, he's just a fun guy, and he's a great horseman. And I was just lucky to stumble upon him. And the funny thing is that John Service was the guy that told me. I asked John about him. I said, "What do you know about Larry Jones?" He said, "He's as good a horseman as there is around." And I met up with Larry and gave him some horses. And the first group of horses I gave him, Hardspun was in. And you know how well he did with him. It's just a shame Curlin had to come around. Or
sure.
The Sheik would have had a lot more kickers he would have had to pay out.
Right. And as we wrap this up, Rick, and in the introduction, I reeled off your accomplishments and, with Harvard of Grace and beating the boys with her and the Horse of the Year. And then Songbird comes along, and she's just so magnificent, a 2-time Eclipse Award. What are you in your 20-some-odd years in racing? Is there any one thing you're most proud of? What do you, when at the end of the day, do you think is the signature accomplishment of Fox Hill Farm?
I think it is that we have a good group of people running Fox Hill Farm, including the trainers, and just the overall success we've had, and the unbelievable fact of being in the black after 20-some years of being in horse racing. But all the races, all the wins, looking at all the pictures and the saddle towels and the trophies, I don't know, it's what I always dreamed of. And when I first started with a couple claiming horses, it's like a different world. But I'm just proud of the overall reputation of Fox Hill Farm. And I think I have a good reputation as an owner. I try to treat the horses like they're my dogs. You couldn't treat anybody any better than that. I think that's it, though.
Well, you've got a lot to be proud of. Rick, we thank you for your time. We wish you well on the racetrack. We wish you well in your courageous fight with your health problems. And we want to see many visits to the winner's circle this year, not just for Songbird, but for all the Fox Hill Farms horses. We thank TaylorMade, our sponsor. We thank again Rick Porter. Rick, have a great 2017.
You too, Bill. Thank you very much.